It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 619. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and it's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow. Jam-packed show again tonight. Obviously going to talk about the WannaCry ransomware, what you should be doing to protect your system. I have some other links. Also, resetting Firefox when you can't open it. Office 2010 crashing on a print driver. Got the solution. Office 365 issues. A Synology sync issue. And then a Google Pixel setup guide. Got lots of emails that I'm going to get to before we get started. The 2017 Unconvention in Washington, D.C. It's coming up. It's only a few months away. It's September 16th and 17th. You can get a $40 discount off ticket prices right now by using the code MTS for Mike Tech Show. You want to buy your tickets, lock in before we sell out. It's a two-day convention where participants we'll learn new business strategies, discover new technology through hands-on demos on the first day, and learn best practices in the community AMA, which is Ask Me Anything, on the second day. I will be part of the whole two-day convention. I'm going to be part of the keynote, and I'm also going to be doing a lab. The Unconvention is brought to you by Instant House Call and Tech Site Builder, the sponsor, Malwarebytes. The TechBench tool set. It's an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. So hope to see you there. Get your tickets. Use the discount code MTS. Want to read something to you. When the WannaCry, and there's lots of different variants and different names, hit Europe and then made its way over to here. Matter of fact, it hit FedEx here. This was sent on May 12th from Malwarebytes. Within 12 hours, 81,000 infections were reported globally by the OneCrypt outbreak. That's how they called it. NHS reported 16 hospitals in the UK have been hit and can't operate or admit patients. They talk about Spanish telecom giant Telefonica was hit and responded by desperately telling employees to shut down computers and VPN connections in order to limit the ransomware reach. Banks, utilities, telecoms, healthcare. Malwarebytes is protecting your organization against this specific ransomware variant. Our anti-ransomware technology uses a dedicated real-time detection and blocking engine that continuously monitors for ransomware behavior like the one seen in this particular variant of ransomware. It's why I use, why I resell, why they are a sponsor of my podcast. I'm going to share at the end of the show another reason why I use them. Listener Kate, who you know contributes regularly, longtime listener for the show, she sends me an email tonight while I was on the air in the pre-show with a problem she's having. I emailed Malwarebytes, got an immediate response. This is why we work with companies like that. Malwarebytes was at the Unconvention in Canada. It's where I established a tremendous relationship with them. They are going to be at the DC Unconvention in September. It's one of the reasons why you want to attend these, because you're going to make connections with tremendous vendors and have relationships. This is what you get out of it. That was one of the best connections that I have ever made in going to a conference. These are things you got to consider for your business. Do the best you can to try to make that, because we're going to have other vendors as they sign on. They're going to be presenting different solutions that you're going to want to hear, and you're going to want to make that connection. Anyway, all my clients who have Malwarebytes, they're protected. Now, this particular ransomware, if you were updated with the latest Windows patches from March, you're okay. But if you were Windows XP, Windows 8, or any unsupported operating system right now from Microsoft, you were at high risk of being infected. The lessons, and we know this, and I would hope that anybody who's listening to the show already knows and will repeat our mantra: backup, backup, backup. You have to have a reliable, tested backup of your data. If you don't, you're crazy. You're walking around, you're walking on a tightrope without a net. There's no reason to do that. Have a backup. Deploy a product like Malwarebytes Premium. Now, the free version does not do anti-ransomware, so you need the premium version for Malwarebytes. And that is just another layer helping to prevent this. Bitdefender prevented that. I use Bitdefender on my machine. There's lots of ways to protect yourself, but the biggest one for you, for your clients, for family, for friends, make sure they're getting backups of their systems. I have some links for this. The WannaCry ransomware hackers made some real amateur mistakes. This is an interesting article by Wired. Remember, this particular ransomware, even if you pay the money, you're not going to get a key to unlock your data. Now, for those of you who don't know what the ransomware does, it churns and burns before you get the message. It encrypts all of your data files. Then you'll get a message where it wants you to make a payment. And supposedly they're going to give you back the key to decrypt your files. But on this one, you don't get that key. If you ever see a ransomware, you shut the machine off and you pull that network. And then you go to a known good machine and start researching what to do. Because there are some ransomware variants where you can get the key to decrypt your data. There are places out there that share the information. There's also some variants that don't even encrypt your data. They pretend and they say they do. Now, I got a panic call yesterday from one of my clients who was nervous about this. And I said, you don't have to worry. We got Malwarebytes on every machine. Your Windows 7 and Windows 10 is updated all the time. Do not worry. But I get a panic phone call yesterday where they said, Mike, we got hit with one of the systems. I said, pull the plug right now. Pull the power plug right now. And I was shocked. I was like, how can it be? They weren't hit with ransomware. The one user went to a website where it started talking to him, and it told him to dial this 800 number, call Microsoft. It wasn't the ransomware. But they didn't know, and they just seen something bad happening. And so I deployed my son to go down there and do a deep cleaning in safe mode, not connected to the network. All was well. That's the level of panic that the media has created here. And I'm glad they're putting it out there. One of the things, I've been so busy, I haven't leveraged this as a marketing opportunity to let my clients know, only the ones that contacted me. I said, you're good, you're protected, don't worry. You can sleep well at night. Hey, I'm monitoring your backups. I'm monitoring your systems, and you're updated and protected, so you don't have to worry. So that's some of the things that I was replying to clients that were reaching out to me. You could take this as a great opportunity to contact clients and people that you know already have Windows XP. They are at high, high risk. You want to get them to upgrade. This is one of those reasons where if you had that individual, that client that didn't have the money or wasn't going to upgrade. Oh, I can't afford it. XP's working fine. Well, this is where you leverage this event to get them to upgrade. Another link is the Washington Post, how to protect yourself from the global ransomware attack. So we got a couple articles that I will have in the show notes. Had a client that needed to reset Firefox because it was infected. I ran everything, and anytime he opened Firefox, the default homepage took him to a site with a pop-up to call Microsoft, this 800 number. It was a bogus message. So the question is, how do you reset Firefox without opening Firefox? Got a great little link here. I knew there was a key combination of opening Firefox, but I couldn't remember what it was. And it shift when you open. So you right-click on the Firefox icon or the shortcut and hold the shift key while you click open. And then you are presented with to choose your user profile. You can click refresh Firefox. It'll also ask you again to click, do you want to reset Firefox? Click yes. You'll reset sort of back to the factory defaults. Make sure that if something does happen, that your bookmarks, because you back up the system, so the bookmarks should be backed up. You can go import them. I still use, occasionally, Moz Backup, which backs up everything from the profile. And then what you can do is cherry pick which options do you want to bring back in. Do you want to bring back extensions? Do you want to, you can say, oh, I only want bookmarks. I had a reset Firefox for a client where he had terrible printing problems. Anytime he went to print, Firefox crashed. He could not print. The only way to fix that was a total uninstall. I ripped it out. But before I did that, I backed up. I used Moz Backup to back up his bookmarks because that's all he cared about. And then I was able to do, once I reset Firefox, I restored the bookmarks, piece of cake. And it fixed his problem. Just wanted to share my Firefox tip. Next, Office 2010 crashing when my client goes to print to a brand new Dell LaserJet 2660 ND. Now, this is the puzzling thing. There are five users. One of them's Windows 10 Pro, no problem printing. Two others are Windows 7 Pro, no problem. But I had two users in the same office with the same system setups, one Windows 7, one Windows 10 Pro. Anytime they go to print, Office 2010 crashes. And we've tried reinstalling Office, fixing it. Here's what finally fixed the problem. For those two users, we had to use the Dell OpenPrint driver. Just like HP has an open driver, a sort of a generic driver, so does Dell. So I came across this, and I'm going to have the link in the show notes for the Dell OpenPrint driver. Once we installed that, it was great. Matter of fact, I thought we solved the problem with an HP driver printing to the Dell printer. That did not totally solve the problem. We couldn't see the second print tray. And we couldn't print in color. So I had to keep working this. So they need it to print in color. They have to be able to pull from that second tray. The open print driver worked. Putting that out there because you may not have realized that. And if you run into this scenario where you're having trouble with the Dell printer drivers, go to the open driver. Office 365. I have a client that has about 20 accounts, 20 users. The owner of the business made a change online that went from premium to business premium. There was a little change. Saved a couple dollars a month because there was features they didn't need. Well, now Office does not register with the user. What happens is it says it's an unlicensed Office. Our solution for every single one of those people, we had to log on as that individual user on Office 365 and reinstall Office on top of it. Now, luckily, it just totally updated office, and that was it. And then it was able to accept the licensing for that individual. Just a weird, weird problem that I ran into with Office 365. Got a problem? I want to know if you are at the latest DSM, sort of the operating system versions for your Synology, and you're having trouble with rsync, with syncing. I was syncing these two Synology servers, and then when my client moved, and I checked the IP addresses, I checked everything, well, an update happened, and I don't know if it's the latest versions having a problem, but I can't sync anymore, and I got the passwords right, I got everything, I can't sync. So we want to migrate to the new Synology server. The only way I'm going to be able to do this is use sort of a go-between system, put sync back on there, after hours, map to both shares, sync, and make sure that the same data is on the one Synology as the old one with the new one. And then I can go in there and I can change the names because they upgraded to a more robust, more storage, bigger, badder Synology server. I just want to make sure I have all the data before I flip that switch and start changing the names. We have lots of email to get to. Here we go. This is from Zrinko, my iPhone rant. Just listened to your show 616 with some delay and reminded me that I wanted to write to you after the previous show to get some clarification regarding your rant about the iPhone. Are you having issues with the phone or with the carrier? AT&T, I think. Make sure you are identifying the problem accurately. And he is correct. I am with AT&T. But my son has an iPhone 5, I think 5S, with no issues when he's over my house here with AT&T. I'm going to tell you the problem. It takes 10 seconds when someone calls me on my cell. They can hear me. I can't hear them. And it doesn't matter what carrier they're on. I've had them all over, whether it's T-Mobile, Sprint, Verizon, and AT&T. If you were to call me, or if I establish a call to you, but mostly it's the inbound call to me, to my iPhone 7, it takes 15 seconds. We have to wait. I say, wait. They hear me say, wait. We wait that 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then we establish the connection, and I can then have a conversation. But it is so frustrating when a client calls you. Now, is this an AT&T problem or is this an iPhone problem? I'm not sure. I have a 10.3.2, whatever that latest one's waiting in the queue. I keep going to the latest update, hoping that there will be an iPhone fix. Now, I just noticed a couple days ago, and I really got to test this, there was a carrier update for my phone that was pushed from AT&T, and I guess with Apple, and I updated the carrier settings. Let's see if that fixes it. Now, on a separate note, he continues, one thing I always consider when it comes to the iPhone versus Android debate, not much of a debate as I prefer my iPhone SE. It really comes down to this. What are my clients using? Considering 95% of my clients use iPhone, decision is already made for me. If I want to be able to support my clients effectively, which is exactly the position I'm in, that's why I'm sort of stuck in an iPhone world. But Android's gaining ground out there. Anyway, perhaps you can expand on your troubles with the iPhone in the next show. I did. And also, Mark Cobb emailed me about the same thing. I've heard you mention the problems, but I needed to elaborate. That's why I wanted to elaborate on this. FYI, I recently switched from AT&T to Verizon on my iPhone. I also have an Android Nexus 6P on the Google Fi network. I still prefer my iPhone over Android phone. Wow. I think I'm going to end up with two phones with two different carriers, one in the Android world, one in the iPhone world, and the Apple world, just so I can support both platforms. So I think I'm convinced I gotta live with this. But now the question is, Galaxy Samsung S8 or the Google Pixel, it's really growing on me. So this email from Kate, to transfer contacts to Google Pixel, the Pixel comes with a cable and a step-by-step guide that lets you transfer your contacts and lots more from an old Android or iPhone to the Pixel. And this is a Google Pixel setup guide, 10 steps to get started. Kate, thank you for that link. I really appreciate it. This is from Rob. This is very interesting. I was just listening to the excellent Mac episode 612 on the Mike Tech Show podcast and heard your complaint with wanting to replace the internal 5400 RPM boot drive of your iMac to an SSD. I don't know if you already found a way to have this done, but there is another way. You can buy an external SSD with Thunderbolt and have that set as the new boot drive. The speeds that Thunderbolt can process is more than adequate. And since the iMac isn't portable, it would be rather illogical to open up your perfectly working iMac, especially if it is a newer model, since the display is more or less glued to the frame. And yes, that's what I'm in. There are a lot of articles and videos on how to do this if you Google it. And he gives me an example. That is a great solution. I'm going to test that and see if I can boot from a Thunderbolt connected drive and see if that's going to get me the speed increases that I want. I have a 3 terabyte regular standard drive in my iMac, my 27-inch iMac. I really need an SSD. I would love to have a terabyte SSD in there. There's nobody will upgrade it, and here's why. Even a place that supports the iMacs, where they're licensed to support it, they won't do it because you need a drive that will have the sensors that this way fans won't kick off and it won't work properly for monitoring the drive. You need to have the drive supplied by Apple, and you can't buy that as a third-party part. See, this is crazy. This is one of the beefs with Apple, with having such a closed environment and a closed system. And there's lots of pros and cons for that, I know. Alberto sent this link, and this is from the Windows Club. It'll be in the show notes. It's manage device drivers in the driver store folder with driver store explorer. So check that out. Another place to be able to back up and manage your drivers. Here's a problem. We need your help. This is from Robert. I'm having problems with every Office 365 program, whether it is Word, PowerPoint, Publisher, Excel, even Outlook, crashing every time I try to do a save as feature. Do you know of any other people having this issue? And if so, what is the fix? I did not have this problem with Office 2010. And Robert, you know what? Kate has sent me an email with a problem where Word and Excel programs on Office 2016 keeps crashing. And she sent me the link when I was in the pre-show tonight. She determined it was Malwarebytes 3 causing the problem. And Robert, I'm going to email you the minute I'm done the show here. Are you using Malwarebytes 3? Because if you are, we have the fix. Malwarebytes sent me the link to the latest update so you can fix the problem. And this could be the problem. And if you're a listener of the show, there's a better than average chance that you are running Malwarebytes. So this could be the problem, and we may have the solution here. I'm going to send that to Robert and see if this fixes it. And I really hope it is, but it seems like Malwarebytes in one of the versions here had some trouble with Office. And if we get to the latest version, it'll stop crashing. That's great to know. And it's one of the reasons I like Malwarebytes. They were so quick on the response that it really helps for having a relationship with the software manufacturers like that, where they respond quickly and get the updates and fixes out there. And that's why we like them, because they respond. It's why one of the reasons I like Instant House Call and use it and recommend it, because if there's a problem, you can report the problem. They will fix it. They will get a workaround. Maybe it's a feature that has to be in a future version. This is why we deal with companies like that. who respond to us when we have issues. I have a couple other emails I'm going to save for next week. Before we wrap up, I got some music keyed up for tonight's show. It's a very sad day in the music industry. Chris Cornell passed away, who's the lead singer of Soundgarden, also Audioslave, was a singer for Temple of the Dog, which was a joint venture of Chris and Pearl Jam years ago. He's also done a lot of solo stuff. It's a tremendous loss. And I went through my library of music and found a Chris Cornell cover of this Led Zeppelin tune that I thought was very appropriate. I'm going to play this and then I'll be back to wrap up.
If the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. If mountains crumbled to the sea, there would still be you and me. If the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. If mountains crumbled to the sea, there would still be you and me.
Thank you.
That was Chris Cornell doing the cover song, Thank You, from Led Zeppelin. And you can find that on a CD titled Songbook from 2011. And there are some tremendous gems there. Rest in peace, Chris Cornell. You will be sorely missed. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anybody buying from Amazon, please use my link to help support the show. It's amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to help support the show. That's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.